When men lean in, everyone wins.
Help women aim high.
My brother would always pick me above his friends to be on his basketball teams.
It's moments like that that you carry with you forever.
Hi, men. Are you?
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show and talk a little sports with us, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. My name is Christian Bond. I am known as POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them. I cover them. I do all I can with them. Lacey Nicholson is in studio. She's a member of the POU basketball team, along with Drew Artisoni, another member of the POU basketball team. Lacey, what's on tap for Lacey's Lutes this week?
This week, we are going to hear a little bit from Michaela Grady and Eric Swartout. They are talk about the ultimate power couple. They both are two-sport athletes here at PLU and have been dating for some time now. And it was really fun to be able to talk to them and kind of get an idea of what they do on a day-to-day basis and how they're able to see each other outside of sports and outside of class. So we'll hear a little bit more about that. I'm here with Michaela Grady and Eric Swartout. They are two-sport athletes. Both of them are two-sport athletes here at PLU, and they happen to be dating. So we're going to learn a little bit more about their lives on and off the court and field. And I'll just have them introduce themselves real quick. So, Michaela, can you name the sport you play or what two sports you play, your major, and the year you are in school?
I play for the women's soccer team. I'm on track and field team. I'm a kinesiology major, and I'm a junior.
And then Eric?
I'm a super senior. I'm on the track and field team, and I play basketball too.
And your major?
And I'm majoring in journalism.
Awesome. So when did you guys start dating?
We started dating my freshman year of high school, so that was probably like 2010, so 6 years ago, something like that.
Do you agree with that, Eric?
Yes, that was a long time ago.
And kind of what is your guys' daily schedule? I'll ask each of you guys your daily schedule. We'll start with Eric.
Basically, wake up, go to class, a lot of class, and then sometimes I take a nap, then go to practice, then try to get in some homework, and then Mac cooks me dinner.
Okay, and Mac?
I go to class or I work, and then I'll have soccer for a couple of hours, and I'll cook dinner, and then Eric does the dishes.
So do you guys see each other outside of dinner? Like, how do you find time for each other in your daily schedules?
Both of us know that we're pretty busy, so we just kind of, like, text each other. And if we get a chance to stop by and say hi to each other during the day, we do. But it does get pretty hectic, and we sometimes don't see each other until nighttime, so...
And then kind of to go off of that, you guys are both really busy with your sports and your game schedules. How often are you able to support each other at each other's games?
Well, I definitely try to get to as many soccer games as I can because I like to get out there and support Mac and the girls' soccer team because they're doing really well this year and they have been in the past. So I get out there as much as I can, but it's tough, especially when basketball is just starting up. So, yeah.
How are you?
During Eric's season, it's a lot easier for me to go and watch because I'm kind of in a transition between soccer and track, so it's a lot easier to get to his games, plus they're indoors, so I have a little bit more of an initiative to go because I'll stay warm.
Right. So you guys mentioned that you both do track. What events are you in?
I do the javelin and a couple of relays.
Yeah, I throw javelin as well.
So since you both throw javelin, that means you guys are practicing together every day during that season. Kind of what is your relationship like during practice? Is it strictly business or does your relationship play into things?
Completely business. I mean, Eric's really knowledgeable about javelin. I'm pretty new with it. He helps me a lot. You know, we coach each other. We see what each other needs to fix, and strictly business.
Okay. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that we know when to, like, turn it on and off in terms of our relationship, so it's I'm kind of the coach in that situation. I think Mike would agree, but it's fun. She's been improving a lot, so it's fun to see.
Cool. So to kind of end our interview, I just want to ask you guys, put you guys on the spot. I'm going to ask both of you some questions about the other person in the relationship and see if you get the right answer. So, Mac, what is Eric's favorite food?
Favorite food? Definitely pizza. Pizza, pepperoni pizza. Let me be specific.
Is that correct?
That was too easy.
Oh. Okay, Eric, what is Mac's favorite food?
Spaghetti.
Is he correct?
It's fair. I have a few favorite foods, but yeah, that's definitely up there.
And Mac, what is Eric's favorite sports team?
Ooh, if we're talking football, he'd probably go with Seahawks for NFL, and then college would probably be UW.
Is she correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And then, Eric, what is Mac's favorite kind of flower?
Favorite flower?
He's turning red, folks.
I'm just going to go with a wild guess here and say the bird of paradise, just because she's talked about it a few times.
Is he correct?
No.
What is your favorite flower?
Sunflower.
Oh, okay. Eric loses. All right, guys. Well, thank you for your time. Mac and women's soccer plays George Fox this weekend on Saturday. Mac, what do you kind of expect for that game?
You know, they're kind of at the bottom of the league, but they're still a really good team. They play with a lot of grit. They have talent. You know, they're an uprising team. They'll be a good battle for us.
And then Eric just started his basketball season. They play Central tomorrow night, Friday night. Eric, what are you kind of expecting for the season as a whole?
We got a lot of expectation going this year after a great year last year, so that's always good to have expectation. But it's going to be a good year. I'm excited. The boys are ready to go, so it'll be a fun year.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys for your time. Mac, good luck this weekend. Eric, good luck this season. And
they are awesome, aren't they?
Yes.
That is the coolest boyfriend, girlfriend, / teammate, / biggest fan dynamic ever.
I'll agree. I like that you threw Eric off with the favorite flower question.
Yeah, that was rough.
That was a tough one.
You just gas Eric.
I didn't tell them the questions beforehand, so I wanted them to be a little caught off guard.
Yeah. Dude, Mac was awesome. Mac's like, no, you're wrong.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, it's time for everybody's favorite game. It's Name That Loot. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Hockey depends on ice, and ice depends on water. That's why the NHL has teamed with the Natural Resources Defense Council. We're conserving the water we use and helping to safeguard its future. Because Earth's most valuable resource is pure, clean water, preferably frozen. Join the team at NHL/green and NRDC.org/sports.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I am joined by Lacey Nicholson of PLU Women's Basketball and Drew Artisoni of PLU Men's Basketball. So it's time for our favorite game, Name That Loot. If you want to join in and play a couple rounds with us, the number to call us is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. So let's remind everyone the rules. It takes two names to get the answer right. You have to have the first and the last.
I have a question.
Okay.
Since Kellen isn't in studio today, are we going to let Heina take his place?
Heina, would you like to play Name That Loot?
Yeah. Heina wants in.
Heina, you want to play?
Yeah, I'm done.
Did you study?
Yeah.
Oh, he came in ready.
Heina is hanging out with us today, and he is ready to go. I am going to give him my sound effect. Hold on. So let's remind everyone.
The rules.
The rules? Okay, the rules. It takes two names. If you buzz in before I'm done reading the stat line, you are running the risk of getting it wrong or right. If you know it, if you think you know it, you can do that. I am specific with my stat lines.
Last week I got called out for a women's soccer goal. Drew thought that it applied to different people. What he did not listen to is...
the end of the question.
The end of the question, when that happened. And I folded because I... not much for conflict, so I folded. But, Drew, I was right. Okay, I just want...
Christian, you're the producer, babe. You're always right.
That's the right answer.
I know.
Okay, here you go. Lacey, what is...
I know who my judge is for the upcoming game.
What is your sound effect, Lacey? One more time. Let's do it one more time. There it is. That's the cap. Drew, what do you got for us?
God, that's
that is so my least favorite
so
one.
Annoying.
Do you want me to change it?
No.
Oh.
Oh, God, taking him for Kellen.
Into the microphone, Heina. Yep,
so
I like
stepping
that.
Stepping in
cool.
for Kellen with sound effect and all. Heina.
Is Heina. Okay. Let's pull up my sheet. You guys ready to go?
Yes.
Here we go. This person had 120 rushing yards on... That's the elephant.
Who is Darren Hardgrove?
Hardgrove. That is correct. That was a very easy one. But the number was so big that I could not put it in there.
Yeah,
that's an impressive day.
You got to give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely. This person had averaged 8.3 yards per catch.
Oh, wow.
Lacey? Three.
Who is Ben Welch?
Nice.
Great.
Good answer. All right, we're on the board.
This is why you need a camera in studio. That, right there.
A little bit of a celebration from Lacey Nicholson. This person had 9 receiving yards and a touchdown. That's Lacey.
Who is DJ Winter?
Ooh.
Lacey is killing out of here. She's
very
she's
confident.
Hurt my feelings.
Lacey out to a 2-1 lead over the field. Heina, you got to get on the board sometime here, ma'am. All right. 5 tackles.
Wow.
Cat?
give me a second. Who is Tanner Perry?
Tanner Perry.
It's incorrect.
Incorrect.
Dang it.
That's the elephant.
Luis Gomez.
What? That is incredibly impressive. Luis Gomez did have 5 tackles and a half sack for a loss of a yard last weekend against Puget Sound. Very nice, Drew.
Thank
Very
you.
Nice.
Thank you. Heina, get on the board.
Heina, a member of the PLU football team, stepping in for Kellen Westring here. This person had 4 tackles.
Mm.
Dolphin.
Isaiah Watkins.
Isaiah Watkins. Is correct, just like that. Heine's
Great
on
job,
the board.
Heine.
Good job, Heine.
Can't get my boy wrong.
Attaboy. Good stuff, Heine.
Isaiah had 4 tackles and 2 sacks, so he's in the backfield a lot. Okay, let's move on. This person had a goal in the first half against George Fox, assisted by Eddie Na. Cat.
Who is Isaac Visser?
Dolphin wants a chance at this one. Go for it, Heina.
Joe Mando. I think that's how you say his last name.
I am going to grant that wish.
I'm going to give that to him, even though it's San Martino.
Yes, Joe San Martino scored the goal.
Good effort.
Good effort, Heina.
Heina, you got two points now. What's the score so far?
Two.
Everyone's got two.
Look at this. All right. This person had a goal in the second half against George Fox, assisted by Tyler Bennett. Elefante.
Who is Eddie Na?
Incorrect. Cat. Three.
Who's Bennett Bugby.
Incorrect. 3, 2, 1. No dice. All right.
Christian,
can we just say
Christian, great job.
Yes.
Great
the
job.
Lutes, that was a tough one. The men's soccer team had 6 goals against George Fox, all of which were from different people.
Scored by 6 different people, and all 4 seniors who played scored.
I had plenty of different options. That's a point for Christian for everyone getting it wrong. This person is Giovanni Brigola.
Brigola.
Brigoli. Brigola?
Giovanni Brigola.
Sorry, Giovanni. But yes, he's the person who scored that goal.
Oh.
So sweet. Such a good goal.
Moving on. This person had 2 assists and a goal against George Fox.
Oh, my gosh. That was so
tight. That was
tight.
Definitely me.
Cat, go for it.
Eddie Nah.
The worst part of this game on my end is figuring out who buzzed first.
Yeah, that is terrible.
Lacey, good job. That was correct.
Agro Lace.
Thank you.
This person had a goal and an assist against Pacific. Let's go Heine this time.
It's on men's soccer.
And I don't know.
Michaela Grady.
Michaela Grady.
That's correct, Heine.
Nice job, Heine.
I knew I was gonna get
that's correct.
We're getting down. We're getting towards the end here. What do we got? We got Lacey with 3.
Heine with 3, me with 2.
Drew needs to come from behind effort again. Alright. This person had a goal against Pacific. It's the cat.
Forgive me if I get this name wrong. Is it Rachel Ross? Is that her name?
That is incorrect.
Dang it.
Drew, did you buzz?
Yes, I did.
Go ahead, try it.
I would like Kaylee Roselle, please.
Incorrect. Heine, you want to throw up a guess?
No guess
from Heine. The correct answer is Leah McGee.
Oh.
She had a goal against Pacific.
Leah scored.
Yeah, Rachel Ross is right. She did score.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But it's really hard when the women's team scores 14 goals in 3 games. It's really hard when Christian picks one of them.
More
often. He's just doing a great job. Christian, well done.
This person scored the game winner against Willamette.
Heine beat me.
Heine.
Darn it.
Rachel Ross.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah. 4 for Heine.
Good job, Heine. Really?
See, now earlier I had mentioned that these are game specific. Mm-hmm. Rachel Ross did score a goal. It was just the next day against Willamette.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
It's the next level of studying.
There it is. Okay, a little bit of volleyball. This person had 17 assists and 7 digs. Drew.
Who is Kiana Callis?
Most valuable mom. Kiana Callis is correct. Nice job, Drew. This person had 16 kills and 19 digs. Cat.
Who is Chloe Epker?
Incorrect. Somebody else buzz. 3. Dolphin.
Who is Mackenzie Harris?
Incorrect. Drew, 3, 2.
I have no idea.
No idea. Correct answer with 16 kills and 19 digs last weekend was McKenna Ventura.
Oh, for the whole weekend.
This was not game specific. This was weekend specific. Weekend specific. All right. Another volleyball one. This person had 7 kills against Whitworth. Elephant.
Who is Chloe Epker?
Incorrect. Cat.
Who is Mackenzie Harris?
Incorrect. Heine, 3.
Nope.
No guess from Heine. The correct answer is Rochelle Downwin.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Little Drew fell flat on the PLU volleyball this weekend. So who's in the lead?
Heine's got 4.
Heine's got 4. Yeah, Lacey's got 3.
Both have 3.
Okay. We'll make this one worth 2 points. Final question worth 2 points. This person won the Northwest Conference individual title for cross country last weekend. Elephant.
Who is Brad Hodgkinson?
Let's go. That's a walk-off there right there.
That is a walk-off.
Back to back.
Drew Artisoni, 2 weekends in a row, comes home.
I think I won last weekend. Did I win last weekend?
No, Drew did.
I did.
Oh.
On the 8 volleyball questions in a row.
Yeah, remember that? You rattled off with, oh, my goodness.
I'm going to do the polite thing and come over and shake Drew's hand.
I appreciate that. You're not going to roast me and be kind of bitter like Kellen.
Yeah,
nope.
Since he's not here, we can talk about his bad habits.
We'll talk about his bad habits since he's not here. Probably listen to us on the way.
On the way to acupuncture. Well, that was a good round, Drew. You 2 weekends in a row. Not too bad at all.
Not shabby.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Our two basketball players have started practice, and they actually start games here pretty soon. So we're going to have a quick little chat about how basketball is going here at PLU. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
What is cool?
Cool is doing well in school.
Now that's cool.
Anyone who does well in school is a nerd.
Now that's not. Cool is an attitude.
And if you have the right attitude, you can achieve anything.
Be cool. Stay in school.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete, joined by Lacey Nicholson of PLU Women's Basketball, Drew Artisoni of PLU Men's Basketball, and Heine is in studio. He's so cool. He only has one name. It is Heine. He plays football at PLU. So, Heine, thanks for being in here today,
yeah,
man.
Thanks. Heine, you want to drop the last name just so everyone can get it going here?
Alou.
Alou.
Heine Alou. I can remember that. That's actually pretty easy. Never mind. It's Heine Alou. He's in here, too.
Bars. we just kind of treat him like Sting.
Yeah.
Just one name. It's Heine.
He's the man.
I'll
one name.
That. Take that.
All right. So basketball is getting underway here at POU. Lacey, how's it been so far?
Let's see, Drew. How long have we been practicing for now? Almost 2 weeks or over 2 weeks?
A little bit over 2 weeks now.
A little bit over 2 weeks. On the women's side of things, we are young. We have 3 seniors, 1 junior, a whole lot of sophomores, and 2 freshmen. So that's definitely been a challenge for us in the first couple weeks of practice, just because we don't have very many returning starters.
Right.
So kind of the mentality and kind of learning our system on offense and defense has been a little bit of a struggle for the younger people. But it's been fun for the last 2 weeks to kind of watch them grow and watch them learn. We have our first game tomorrow night against Central Washington, who is a D2 school, and they're going to be a good competition for us. They're going to be tough, and I think we can be really scrappy this year, and we can run the ball with our lack of size.
So the women's team is undersized, but they are going to fast break up and down the court and try and get shots up and put points on the board, right?
Correct.
Should be fun to watch. Drew, how has men's basketball been? You had a great year last year. What's it been like so far?
So as opposed to Lacey, instead of being super, super young, as we've been for the last 3 years, now we're super, super old. We have 5 seniors, 5 juniors, and then 4 sophomores and like 2 freshmen. We're old.
Yeah, you are very old.
Yeah.
Which is how it should work.
Which is how it should work now that we've kind of gone through that trend now we're old again. And it's just the only thing that is going to stop us from not doing as well as we did last year's injury. We just need to keep guys healthy. Like I said, like that's where the age kind of catches up with us. We just need to keep guys healthy. Practice has been great so far. We're kind of sticking to the mantra, you know, do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone just play your role. And things are going to work out well for us. It's great having Coach Gibson and Coach Isaacson back to, you know, to run the offensive and defensive side of things. Coach Dickerson's in his final year. He's going to hopefully go out on a high note. That's what we hope to send him out on, as well as send the rest of us seniors out on. Is, you know, we don't want to underperform. We have a ton of expectations for this team. Although we have no expectations as far as the national light is concerned, when Whitman's ranked number 8 in the nation and we don't get a vote, yeah. And we beat them twice last year.
There's a tough deal.
I'm assuming that we're going to probably be picked to finish in the bottom 2 of the conference again and hopefully finish either first or second.
Yeah, which is, you know, historically that's where POU ends up. I mean, the program has been right at that 500 mark for a long, long time. And then last year you guys popped off and had that 16-win season. You really think that other coaches are going to put you 7th or 8th or 9th in the conference?
Why would you be picked so low?
It's just going to happen. They think that it happens every year. We've been
but
picked
you did well last
doesn't
year.
Doesn't really matter. It doesn't
I don't
matter.
Think it should.
It you shouldn't. Didn't. It shouldn't, but it's going to. We'll get put down there. It'll the rankings will probably go Whitworth 1, Whitman 2, probably Puget Sound 3.
Which is ridiculous.
Pacific 4, probably us 5 or 6.
Wouldn't you rather have it that way, though? I would rather be.
But here's the deal. Those coaches can put us down there, but you're just going to have to realize that we're not going to sneak up on anybody because of what we did last year.
Yeah.
We started out the season 9-2.
Mm-hmm. That'll work.
That'll work.
That's a good start.
I'm just excited for ball to start, man. We go to Central this Friday.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Wow. Yeah, tomorrow.
Came up fast.
Quick week.
Came up fast. It's going to be a great test, great little contest for us. I love going to play the Division II, Division I teams to start the year. Really toughens us up, gets us kind of in the groove
for
when we head to Puget Sound to play the number one ranked team in the nation, in the national champion of last year, St. Thomas. We will play a first game in the Puget Sound tournament.
So I've talked to Coach Dickerson yesterday getting ready for the preview article for the men's team. His biggest concern with this group is going to be rebounding, partially because of the absence of Bryce Miller. He earned conference honors twice, I believe, in his 4 years. He earned like an honorable mention in the second team last year. How will the men's team fill the gap in the middle of Bryce Harper? Or not Bryce Harper. Bryce Miller. Yeah. Sorry, Bryce.
I know he's listening. Losing B hurt. It's an 8-rebound-a-game guy on average. Double-double waiting to happen every single night. Best big in the league by far. Best passing big probably the Northwest Conference has ever seen. Kid passes the ball. He made the 4-out-1 in system work better than probably anyone ever has. We're just going to rebound by a platoon. Jared Christie's going to have to get a lot more rebounds. The guards are going to have to crash the boards harder. We've been working on it a lot in practice. We're going to rebound the ball. There's no one who can out-rebound us.
Wow.
Because if there is, Coach Dickerson's going to have an absolute coronary. And we work on it. Trust me. It changes our offense too. Like we just can't dump the ball into the big fellow and play around anymore. We're gonna have to be smart and move the ball on offense and set screens and be intelligent.
That sounds about right. Lace, you want to add anything? Men's team, women's team, basketball, anything?
I'll roll off of that whole rebounding topic for the women's team. We are small this year. Our biggest post is 5'10".
Nice.
So we're under 6 foot, and honestly, out of our 5 posts that we have on the team, I think 4 of them are not true posts. Four of us are coming from playing the guard position our entire lives and have been thrown into the paint, which is okay because I think I've been playing posts for PLU for the past 2 seasons, and being smaller is something that I've used to my strength to get around the bigger girls and really use my body to box out. I mean, boxing out is going to be crucial for us this year because we don't have that ability to just grab rebounds right out of the net or right under the rim. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, rebounding is going to be tough for us this year, but we just got to have that scrappy mentality to get every board.
Very cool, very cool. All right, that'll do. That'll put a wrap on our little basketball talk here. Season gets underway for both teams tomorrow at Central, I believe. Both teams, yes?
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
So, I'm going to take a short break here. Drew Artisoni has supplied us with our tough deal of the week. Find out what that is when we return. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented Half Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hockey career began like many players, on frozen ponds. That's why the groundbreaking partnership between the NHL and Constellation is so beneficial for the communities we play in and fans like you. Constellation and the NHL have a commitment to a clean energy future. So we join forces to offset the league's entire carbon footprint this season and work with NHL clubs to help reach their energy efficiency goals. I'm proud to be part of a league that's taking action to preserve the environment. Constellation, the NHL's preferred energy choice.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I'm joined by Lacey Nicholson of POU Women's Basketball.
Drew Artisoni, he plays for the POU men's basketball team, and Heina is in studio with us today, filling in for Kellen Westring. He plays on the football team here at POU. UW had a game last weekend. They squeaked one out against Utah, won by a touchdown last weekend. Everyone came in here and said, oh, they'll win by 20 points.
I did not say that.
You did not? What was your final score then, Lacey?
I don't remember my final score, but it was
Kellen,
it was close.
Kellen came in here and said something like 42-17.
That was mine. Kellen said 42-16. Lacey made it a way closer game.
Yeah, it shows what you guys know about football. Anyway, what worked? How did UW pull off this win against the 17th best team in the country?
Well, this game was physical, and we knew it was not going to be easy for the Dogs. Miles Gaskin had an exceptional game with 19 attempts for 151 rush yards, averaging 7.9 yards per rush, and a touchdown for the cherry on top there. But aww. Coach Peterson really attributes some of that success to the offensive line, mm-hmm. Who he said is getting better each and every game. The job of this O-line is to cover guys so Gaskin is able to find those creases and make good runs. And we knew the Utes defense was going to pressure the Dogs, and I think the O-line did great against that pressure. And then looking to the throwing aspect of the game, Jake Browning was great, as always. Just from watching the highlights of this game, the passes he was throwing were really threading the needle. Mm-hmm. He did throw a pick, but was able to overcome that. I think he had two touchdowns on the game, one interception. He was able to find his players through the Utes defense and had some pretty impressive completions.
Drew, what did you think of the game on Saturday?
I think Dante Pettis worked. I think special teams worked. Special mm-hmm. teams was special. The interview of Dante Pettis that was published was hilarious. Mm-hmm. He goes, I knew I caught the ball 5 yards deeper than I should have. I know Coach Pete was going to be mad at me if I didn't get out of it, so I had to find a way to slip out, and I ended up taking it back for a touchdown. That was his game analysis of his play that won it all. I mean, it was a great play, great piece of heads-up football, great running, great blocking. Special teams was special, and I know, Lacey, you already alluded to it, but Miles Gaskin was fantastic. Yeah, 151 and a TD is huge, especially on a Utah Utes defense who has been just at an absolute brick wall this year. To go for 151 on them is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heina, what were your thoughts from the game on Saturday?
I think just UW played a sound game, and I feel like it was an awesome win. And it's awesome test that they were actually in a late game scenario because, like, mm-hmm. they need it to be in that situation, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it did.
They need this because now they know how to react to it. Because just like our football team, we had some instances like that. And I think that kind of helped us against UPS. So I think later on the road, if UW's back in this same situation, late game, tied game in the fourth, I think they'll know what to do. So that was an awesome one for them.
Yeah. We want to open up the phone lines right now. If you want to help us talk a little UW football, you can call us at 253-535-7332. Once again, that's 253-535-7332. It's the University of Washington Huskies fell to number 5. They were passed up by the one-loss Texas A&M team. Mm-hmm. What should UW fans make of their team falling out of the top 4?
I mean, it's definitely frustrating. But I think you have to consider the matchups. I mean, besides Rutgers University, the Dogs haven't played a team located any further than the state of Arizona. There's a lot more in the country for them to play. And yes, the Huskies are dominating the Pac-12, but it's hard to say how they would compete against teams in tougher conferences. So yeah, it's definitely frustrating to be a fan, and I'm sure the team is frustrated as well. That they are sliding down a spot with a perfect record, but I think you really do have to consider the matchups and who the Dogs have played so far.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, Drew, what do you think?
So like I alluded to a little bit before, yes, the college football poll rankings came out for the first time, and so the rankings, national rankings, are no longer decided by the coaches and AP polls. It is now on the selection committee. And strength of schedule matters, apparently, to the selection committee. It's been made very clear that the selection committee is not record obsessed. 7-1 A&M, whose only loss is to Alabama, is better because they have also played UCLA, Auburn, Arkansas, South Carolina, and Tennessee. That's why they're better. Their one loss out of the SEC teams and Big 12 teams that they've played is to the number one team in the nation. They are a better ball club. Sorry, it's just the case. They have a better schedule. So, I think Ohio State also probably would be my number five, and I think UW would probably be number six because Ohio State's played a tougher schedule as well. At the end of the day, here's whose fault it falls on, and here's who the dog should be upset at. Not the selection committee, not the polls, your athletic director. Your athletic director has two jobs. Two jobs. Hire your coach and schedule your games. That's it. So if you're not gonna get on the phone and pick up the phone and call your out of conference schedule from across the Mississippi, that's a you problem.
Here's the thing about that though. Yes, they can schedule a tougher preseason, but a majority of their games are in conference. Right? The Huskies can't do anything if the Pac-12 is weak. That's not their fault.
But the selection committee's not dumb. They know that. So for those out of conference games, instead of playing a Rutgers, call someone else. Call a Big 12 team. Call an SEC team. And if you have to, go there. But if you really want to be in that conversation, you have to play someone from the quote-unquote big power conferences, SEC, Big 12. I'm sorry. It's not fair. It's the truth.
So here's my opinion on strength of schedule. I think it matters. So since Kellen's not here, I'm going to bring an analogy for this. So let's say you and someone else are having a strength contest, right?
Yeah.
The coach tells you need to get 8 reps, but you guys pick the weight.
Okay.
So one person's going to pick what they know they're going to be able to get, so 185, right? But the other person is challenging themselves, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to put 245 on because my 8 reps are going to look way more impressive than their 8 reps, right? You kind of see where I'm going with this. Yeah. Let's say this one person who does 185, they get the 8 reps super quick. They're really pumped. But then the guy who is doing 245, 60 pounds heavier, right, gets his 7 reps, but on the last one, he just fails. Was super close, but he just fails at the last one. So technically, 185 won because he did the 8 reps. He did what he was asked to do. But come on, guys. Who's stronger? Who is stronger? The guy who did 245.
That's a good point.
That's a really good point.
That puts it, I hate to say put it in layman's terms, but put it in layman's terms. That's as simple, straightforward as it gets. Who looks more impressive? I think Ohio State and Texas A&M look more impressive than UW. And that just may not be the case, but it is in the eyes of the beholders who are the college football selection committee who aren't dumb.
Yeah.
And I think Iowa proved that last year.
Yep.
That the college football selection committee is not dumb.
So, okay. Go ahead, Lacey.
I just think the dogs are in a tough spot because, like Christian already said, they can't really control who's in their conference and how good their conference is going to be. And they're playing to the best of their ability with what they've been given.
Yeah.
They're 8-0, and that's what they can do with what they've been given. So they're kind of just in a tough spot.
So my final question here is, what does UW need to do to make that top four and make the college football playoffs?
They need to just focus on the next opponent. They control what they can control. Right now, it's not a good time to get distracted with the rankings. I know we're in here talking about it. I hope the dogs aren't wrapping their heads around it right now. There's a lot of season left to play, and they need to just take one game at a time and get it done on the field, and the rest will figure itself out.
That's fair. All right, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to play a little The Seahawks Will. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I'm joined by Lacey Nicholson of POU Women's Basketball, Drew Artisoni of POU Men's Basketball, and Heine is with us today. He is of POU Football. It's time to talk a little Seahawks. The overlying question that I want to give to the audience right now is, what is up with the Seahawk offense? Call us
to give us an answer at 253-535-7332. Let us know what you think about the Seahawks offense. Is it an identity crisis? Are players underperforming? What's the deal with them? So I'll open it up to everyone in here. The 29th best defense in the league held the Seattle Seahawks to 20 points. Why? How?
Ladies first.
Well, I'm not sure if Russell Wilson's getting a little distracted with his hot new wife.
Ooh.
But he's definitely not the consistent quarterback we used to know last year and years previous. But I think the Hawks gave a tremendous effort this last weekend, and the game was a matter of inches, came down to a matter of inches, and the Seahawks could have won when Wilson threw a nice ball to Kearse as time expired, and Kearse just couldn't get a foot down in the end zone, and unfortunately the Hawks come out with a loss. But if they would have secured that touchdown in the final seconds of the game, I'm not sure if we'd be having this question, this conversation about their offense. I don't know. Do you guys think we'd be asking about their offense right now if they would have pulled out a win?
If they score that touchdown, the final score is going to end up being, what, 26-25? And that's still, for the 29th best defense in the league, that's still not a lot of points.
Right.
No.
Compared to what other teams have been putting up on the Saints. Drew, what do you think about the Seahawks? Go for it, Casey. Go for it.
I didn't even answer your question. But yeah, to answer your question, I think the offense is kind of lacking in their run game right now and might be a combination of the absence of Marshawn Lynch and not being able to fill his shoes there, or the O-line is unable to create space for their running back. Christian Michael is averaging 4.2 yards per carry for the season, which is not really a spectacular stat for your running back. So I think they're really lacking in that area of the offense.
I think that's fair. Drew, what do you think about the Seahawks offense?
I agree and disagree with Lacey. I agree that Russell Wilson is distracted. He's not the same dude, man. He's not the same. I mean, we saw back in the day, if you look at his social media feeds and what he did in the offseason, he was either at the Seattle Children's Hospital or he was working out. That was it. Guy had no life, and that's the way I like it. Now, he's got the hot new wife. He's got his brand new watch, lightweight flexing on his Instagram account, advertising about his shave, about his watch. He's doing all these appearances. He's out with Ciara. Whatever the case may be, it's got to stop. Get your head in a playbook. Get back in the film room and do what you're being paid to do. You're not being paid to be a superstar prima donna. You're being paid to be a gritty leader and a quarterback, and you're not doing it. Then he's hobbled with injury. That could be because he was spending time doing things instead of preparing for the season. Just saying.
Ooh.
And then his O-line looks like a block of Swiss cheese. There's so many holes in the darn thing. I can't believe
That's
it.
That's funny.
I mean, Christine Michael averaging 4.2 yards a carry. I don't have a problem with 4.2 yards a carry. 4.2 yards a carry, 4 times 3 is 12. That's a first down. Mm-hmm. Christine Michael isn't the problem. The problem is that Russell Wilson can't throw the ball anymore because he's not doing the things he used to do. It's embarrassing. I just don't get it. I'm so sorry. I don't get it.
Heine, is it Russell Wilson's fault?
I'm sorry, guys, but the way you guys are talking about it, it sounds like the Seahawks are 0-7 right now. I believe
true.
They're 4-2-1, guys. You guys are overreacting on this. So you guys want him to not have a life? Are you guys really getting him mad that he's dating Ciara? Come on.
They're married.
They're married.
The dating is
my
over.
Fault. My fault.
And a baby on the way.
That's a done deal.
Yeah, guys. Here's my thing. I'm not mad. I'm mad that the personality has changed. The personality is what made him who he was and what made him how great he was and what made him Seattle's favorite son.
I'm not sure I don't think his personality has changed. Rather, just maybe his priorities have shifted. I mean, he has a family now. He has a baby on the way. Football is not his entire life, which we are upset about because he might not be performing the way he used to be. But, I mean, he's human, guys. He can have a family and a life outside of football.
You're right. And I'm not saying he's Jamie Collins who said, I'd rather be playing Madden than be playing real football. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's that guy. But what I'm saying is he used to be one way and now he is another. And the Seahawks offense has declined at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So A plus B may equal C here is all I'm saying. There may be a straight line correlation.
Well, if you guys look at the Super Bowl champions of the last 4 years, their offense and ranks were, I believe, other than the Patriots, were all outside of the top 15. So I'm telling you guys right now, do not worry about this. You guys are 4-2-1. I wish the Chargers were 4-2-1. We are 3 games back of every single team in the division. So you guys need to Relax.
Do the Aaron Rodgers? Can we get the Aaron Rodgers?
Relax.
Relax.
Guys, he's going to figure it out. Russell Wilson, I'm not even a Seahawks fan, but at the last drive against the Cardinals, I think it was to tie the game, I was like, Russell Wilson's going to make it happen. Somehow, he's going to make it happen. He's still making plays, guys. He's injured. You guys got to remember, injury does affect you. You got to ask John. When John's injured, he's kind of – you can ask him. It just doesn't feel right. You can ask him. Steph Curry, he was injured during the finals with his ankle. You guys, it's October – or it's November 2nd.
Yeah,
3rd.
It's November.
Sorry. It's going to be all right. You guys, 4-2-1.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'd still take Russell Wilson over Blaine Gabbert, Molly Putz, or Colin Kaepernick, whoever we're deciding to put in the game for the 49ers. But still, I mean, I feel bad for you too, man. Phil Rivers is a Hall of Fame talented quarterback if he had a better coach or offensive coordinator. But back to the Seahawks. Christian, sorry, we're off topic again. Move us along here.
You know, when you listen to the criticism of the Seahawks offense, a lot of the blame gets put on that offensive line. Is it justified with the way that everyone's talking in here? Sounds like a lot of the blame is getting put on Russell Wilson's fault. Who deserves the blame, I guess, for this poor couple of weeks of offense from the Seahawks?
I don't think it's really fair to blame the offensive line entirely. I mean, it is a team effort out there, and yes, the offensive line may be hurting the Hawks in a way, but Russell Wilson is not as mobile as he was due to injury. I don't know. I just don't think it's fair to blame one position group when there's so many other aspects to the game.
That's fair.
I think a ton of blame rests with the O-line, but I don't think the O-line has the entirety of the blame. I think the rest of the blame goes to the NFL and its new rules about contact. How in the world can you expect an O-line to be able to block if they can't hit in practice? Mm-hmm. No. Basketball is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. The trenches are 6 seconds of controlled street fights. If they can't practice that, how do you expect O-line play to be any good in the NFL? You can't.
That's fair.
So it's not the O-line's fault. Yes, the O-line is poor, but that's because the NFL has forced them to be poor with these new contact rules. I'm not saying CTE is a myth. I'm not saying concussions aren't important. Protect your head. I get it. Limit hitting. But you got to be able to let the O-line block and practice, or else this is what games are going to look like, and it's sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the quality of NFL O-lines right now are sorry, with the exception of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Who are all veterans who were before the hitting rules, so you can look at that.
That's fair. You guys ready to play a little prediction game?
Yeah, let's play a little prediction game.
All right, Lacey, start it off. What's going to happen on Monday night?
Well, who do the Seahawks play this week?
They have the Buffalo Bills.
That's right.
On Monday night. So, Lacey, give us your prediction.
The Seahawks are going to win on Monday night. The Bills have defeated the Rams and the Cardinals this season, which is more than the Seahawks have done. The Bills run the ball pretty well, averaging 154 yards per game. But the Seahawks have held teams to 89 rush yards per game, so I think we'll be able to stop them there. Regardless of the statistics and what's on paper, as a fan, I'm hungry for a win from the Hawks. We've tied 2 weekends ago, lost this last weekend. I think the Hawks need to come out. It's a home game. They have that to their advantage. The Hawks need to come out with a chip on their shoulder and just kind of get ticked off to win.
You know, Lacey, you've said you're going to be Hawks win every week, and I love it. I think the Hawks will win as well, Christian, but for no reason that we've talked about yet this year, and for no factor that I think we've talked about yet this year. The Hawks are just simply going to outcoach the Bills.
Oh,
Rex Ryan is the worst coach in football.
Wow.
He is the worst coach in football. Best personality, best coaching personality, worst coach. Pete Carroll is buttoned up. They're going to come in with a great game plan. They're going to execute it to perfection. Rex Ryan's not going to know what to do with himself. He's going to freak out again. The Bills are insecure. The Bills are poorly coached. It's going to be a quick game. Hawks will win in commanding fashion and put Lacey's complaints to rest.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
I definitely think the Seahawks will win the game, but more importantly, I think Russell Wilson's going to have the best game in this season. I think he's hearing everyone talk. He's hearing you, Drew, talk about his lifestyle. I think he's just going to go out there and ball out.
What do you think, Christian?
On Monday, the Seahawks will lose.
Oh, wow.
The Seahawks will lose on Monday night at home.
They're not playing the Dolphins, are they?
Zach Brown. Amen. Amen. Zach Brown of the Buffalo Bills leads the NFL in tackles with 87 this season. Lorenzo Alexander has 9 sacks on the year. There's a mismatch for the offensive line, who hasn't been very good. Mm-hmm. We talk about this offense. They're struggling right now. First 2 weeks of the season, we saw a bad offense. Now we've had a period of 2 weeks of bad offense. I'm not necessarily convinced that the offense is going to be good enough. The Bills are holding teams to 21 points per game. I think the Bills are going to capitalize on a bad offensive team right now and steal one from the Seahawks. All right.
Yeah.
That ends our segment here. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, maybe a little would you rather, maybe a little crosstalk. You know, you never know. We're not sure either. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
We don't really know what we're going
to do. My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show for the last couple minutes here, number to do it is 253-535-7332. Once again, that number is 253-535-7332. My name is Christian Bond. I'm PLU's half athlete. I'm joined by a bunch of athletes in here. We got Lacey Nicholson from PLU Women's Basketball, Drew Artisoni from PLU Men's Basketball, and Heine has been our special guest today. He's from POU football. So, final segment, we were talking over the break. Drew, you have some, you know, with Game 7 of the World Series being last night, a cool moment for every Cub fan ever. I mean, you got some favorite moments in sports you want to talk about?
Yeah, I can't. We were talking about, like, you know, we really didn't want to do Would You Rather this week. Christian, Heine, Lacey, myself were talking about it in the break. We're like, you know what? We should just talk about, we're all huge sports fan here. We should talk about our favorite sports moments for the last segment. I'd love for someone to call in and share some of theirs. This would be a great time for a caller to call in, so please do that. Lacey, ladies first, as always. You want to share a couple of your favorite sports moments with us?
I think almost all of my favorite sports moments come from college basketball March Madness.
Okay.
Because that is the most exciting time of the year for sports, in my opinion. I might be biased because I'm a basketball player.
No,
that's fair.
Fair.
So a couple moments that stand out to me was it was last year in March Madness. I don't remember where we were in the tournament, but it was Notre Dame versus Stephen F. Austin.
Yep, second round.
Second round, thank you, Drew. Rex Pfluger is a freshman at the time and averages 2.5 points a game. Comes into this game, it's within a point. Notre Dame's down. Rex plays for Notre Dame. And he comes in. The play was not designed for him, but whoever the play was designed for, the guy misses a layup, and Rex just gets an O-board and tips it in and puts Notre Dame up one with, like, less than a second left in the game. You should watch this clip if you haven't seen this game. His face after he makes this game-winning shot, he doesn't know how to react. He looks like a lost puppy, honestly. But that was one of the most exciting moments for me to watch, was this kid who probably just works his butt off and is not expected to do anything rather than maybe be a role player, just comes in and gets the game winner. Another moment real quick from March Madness. I know I've talked about it before, but it's when Syracuse takes UConn into 6 overtimes.
That was going to be mine.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
One of the greatest moments in March Madness and in sports history. Syracuse takes UConn into 6 overtimes in 2009. Incredible game. I don't even know. How old were we, Drew? We were in middle school?
We were in middle school.
We were in middle school.
Yeah, what's his name? Diefendorf.
Diefendorf.
Hits a three at the end of regulation. Refs call it off, and it goes into a 6 overtime thriller.
Diefendorf and Johnny Flynn back in the day.
And
awesome
game. That was the UConn team with Kemba Walker and Hashim Thabeet.
And Syracuse comes out winning by 10.
At the end of the 6 overtime.
Incredible. Just so fun to watch. Those are a couple of my favorite moments.
Lacey, yeah, you ask and you shall receive, Christian.
We got
ask and you shall receive.
Our buddy Dominic
from off campus is calling in. Dominic, what's your favorite sports moment?
My favorite sports moment actually hasn't happened yet, but it's going to be when the Golden State Warriors upset the Cavs in the finals this year.
So it's coming. It's not. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. It's
coming.
That's very creative, my man. So when the Golden State Warriors get upset this week or this year in the finals.
Oh my word! I like this kid already. This is awesome. Yeah. So I can't wait. I can't wait for that. LeBron James. This is a scary year for him.
You just not like the Golden State Warriors? Is that why you want to see him get upset in the finals this year? You hate them? Why do you hate them?
Well, Kevin Durant, come on, man.
Oh, it's a Kevin Durant thing?
Really?
That's what it is?
Come on, man. You're one of the top three players in the league, and you can't hold down the team and try to beat them? You were like, you're 3 minutes away from knocking out the Warriors. You should have taken on the Cavs. You guys had the size. It would have been a better matchup.
Yeah, I hear that. All right. Hey, thanks, Dominic, for calling in. We appreciate you. Tell your friends about us, man. Tell your friends. All right.
I will, of course. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
I think that's so awesome. Like, I've said it from the very beginning, man. Like, LeBron James, this is the scariest year for LeBron. He has no pressure this year. He's not expected to win it, and he's going to anyways. Mm. Like, that's crazy. So, yeah, my favorite sports moment you took it is the Syracuse 6 overtime game. To add another one in there, Florida Gulf Coast making their run in the tournament to the Sweet 16. I think it was my junior or senior year of high school. I think that would be fun. 2012, 2013 was a blast. We'll never forget Matt Cain's perfect game he threw for the Giants. That was awesome. Just because I was there, I was at Kansas, Kentucky at Kansas last year when Tyler Ulis and Wayne Selden dueled in double overtime at Allen Fieldhouse. That was a lot of fun. There's been some. I mean, the Cubs winning last night, of course. Oh, yeah. Giants winning back to back to back in even years. That was pretty insane. There's some great moments going on. Heine?
One of my greatest sports moments has to be about the Chargers. I don't know what season it was, but it was when the Colts were 13-0.
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember that? All right.
Yeah.
So this is way back, and me and my neighborhood friends, we're all close. We're huge Chargers fans, but we'd always watch it out at each other's houses just because. And we were up at halftime against the Colts, and every halftime we always play catch outside in the street. No one talked about the game because we just did not want to jinx it, right? No one talked. We just kept throwing it, and it's actually the game where Michael Turner, if you guys kind of remember, he was scoring a touchdown, and the ref was actually keeping up with them even faster than Michael Turner.
Yeah,
so if you guys remember
that. Yeah, I remember
and
that.
We ended
clip.
Up beating the Colts, and I don't know. It was awesome because. Just making them 13-1. That's when Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Edgerrin James were all dominating the league. It was just awesome. Another one was when the Chargers were playing the Patriots in the AFC Championship game at New England. It was actually Philip Rivers was hurt. He had like a torn ACL or something like that. And it was just awesome. It was 10 a.m. game. We all spent the night at my friend's house. His dad made brisket for us in the morning. It was an awesome moment.
I love all your moments come with like these great like memories with friends. Yeah, like Lacey and I were here just talking about like sports. You're like, this is just a great moment with my boys. You know what that reminded me of? Another good one that happened actually here on this campus. When Dan Scheibe from Whitworth no-hit number one Linfield in the Northwest Conference tournament.
Very
I got
nice.
To broadcast that game. What Linfield was stunned.
Nice.
Absolutely stunned. It was a great game to broadcast. Now here, Christian, has to be something to do with the Mariners, I'm guessing, or the Dolphins, one of the two.
Definitely the Mariners more so than the Dolphins.
Okay, what's your Mariners moment?
Probably when the greatest Mariner of all time knocked in Ken Griffey Jr. in the 95 ALCS tournament. That series. When the Mariners won that series, it's what Mariners fans hang their hat on, which is sad because it was 21 years ago. But it's the greatest moment in Mariners history, and it's my greatest moment. I was like 3 months old. It was great. Loved it.
Were you even old enough to remember that?
That's funny.
It was great. Yeah.
I mean, some other great moments. I mean, we talked about a little bit, right? Boise State Statue of Liberty play.
First upset.
Yeah. That's something like what we talk about. Like, what sports moments are going to be here where you're just like never going to forget for your lifetime? And like the 6 overtime game, Statue of Liberty, someone Matt Cain's perfect. You know, some like these just quintessential sports moments of this century. I mean, it's been awesome. Florida Gulf Coast, it's We've had a great couple of years of sports here. Yeah. We've been really, really lucky with the storylines.
Good times. Let's. Mm-hmm. We're about done here with Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes. Everyone in here that is an athlete is playing a game this weekend. Drew and Lacey, they're heading to Central for a little scrimmage. Heine, you have Lewis and Clark at home this weekend, so good luck to the football team. Make sure to check out Laser all weekend long to hear some shows from different DJs. There's some music shows going on. There's a news show. Tons of cool stuff happening on this radio station. Today has been fun for Heine, for Drew Artisoni, and for Lacey Nicholson. Tune into the show next week, Thursdays 9 to 11. We're out of here. See you.